Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
This is a special edition of Ask the CIO. In the first part of the show, we'll be hearing excerpts from the recent FCA Washington, D.C. chapter lunch on the future of the Army's IT programs and priorities. The panel included Mike Krieger, the Deputy CIO, G6, Major General Alan Lynn, Vice Director of the Defense Information Systems Agency, Major General John Morrison, the Commander of Network Enterprise Technology Command, or NETCOM, Ronald Pontius, the Deputy to the Commanding General of the Army Cyber Command, and Douglas Woltze, the Program Executive Officer, Enterprise Information Systems, or PEOEIS, for the Army. During the first part of the show, Mike Krieger starts off the discussion by talking about the Army CIO's four priorities and asks each of the panelists to comment on their contributions to getting those initiatives done.
Okay, let me give you four priorities that the Army's focusing on now with our partners. And then what I'd like to do is have each of the panel members give them 1 or 2 minutes to say a little bit about them, what they're doing. And then we're going to go in and answer your questions because they're going to take us away in about, we got about 40 minutes, 40, 50 minutes. Okay. So, four priorities. Yesterday was a milestone in the Army, and you guys probably missed it. So, over the last 3 weeks, the Army's doubled the bandwidth at Fort Sam Houston, 105% increase. And then we moved the Army behind the Joint Regional Security Stack at Fort Sam Houston. And then we actually took out the top-level router that the Army had at Fort Sam. We removed. We're going right behind the DISA router. Last night, the Air Force followed suit at Lackland Air Force Base and moved their Enterprise Gateway behind the Joint Regional Security Stack. So as of yesterday, we've reached what we defined as IOC for the first Joint Regional Security Stack at Joint Base San Antonio. Pretty big milestone. I think what you'll see is now you'll see a rapid deployment of the capacity increases and the regional security stacks, because Doug's been working behind the scenes with John Morrison's team and has got a whole bunch of installations in the Southwest now ready to map up back over to the capacity upgrade and the security stacks. And the DISA team's been working on 2 other security stacks at Montgomery and Deck Columbus. So I think what you'll see over the next couple of months is a massive part of the Southwest double the capacity and go on Joint Regional Security Stacks. And this is a good thing. So, you know, the number one priority really is finish what we're doing. Get the capacity upgrades and get behind the Joint Regional Security Stacks. The second thing that I know that you guys are very interested in and have a lot of questions is really focused on getting that DISA Army Air Force RFP out on UC. Now, we listened to you. You know, Doug extended Industry Day for 3 days. He extended it a day. Mm-hmm. We had 50 one-on-ones with industry. One of the biggest thing industry told us is they would like to be able to compete for that RFP from private clouds. And so Doug and I are leaving this thing to go up to NSA for our fourth time this afternoon.
Yes.
I think NSA is almost ready to give us an architecture to put in the RFP for industry to compete from private clouds for UC. And so that's a big move, right? Really big milestone for DOD. So we're really focused on getting that UC RFP out. We think that's a significant modernization to telephony in the Army and DOD, plus it's more secure and it'll drive efficiencies, plus you get new capabilities. You saw the memo that the Undersecretary of the Army signed saying you got to move all your applications. Either kill them, modernize, virtualize them, or move them. So, you know, the next priority is to get after that. And so I had an IPR last week with Doug's team and Gerald Lynn's team. We're really focused on moving ERPs to DISA. Back in 15, we'll move the backup for LMP and the backup for IPSA go to DISA. And then in 16, the production follows, and GCCS Army and GFIPS follow. Really focused on that. Huge win for Army and Department of Defense, I think. The rest of the applications, killing's my first choice, I have to admit. If we don't kill it, you want to modernize, virtualize it, and move it to either infrastructure as a service or platform as a service. As NSA defines what industry has to do NIPRNet and SIPRNet, level 5, level 6, I think you'll see a lot of applications moving to either DISA or industry, private clouds, combination of both. I think you'll see that pick up. One of the things we're doing right now We're doing a project at Redstone Arsenal to take down the data center. We've never really looked to the detail to discover what the small apps are running. We know the big ones. We know there's two ERPs. We know Logs is there. We know the Logistics Enterprise Warehouse is there. We've really never paid attention to the rest of them. We want to take down that data center and look at all the applications, turn them all over to the domain owners to kill them, I hope. If not kill them, rationalize them, then modernize them, move them. I think what we learn at Redstone will then, we'll have the plan in the Army and we'll cut the order and say, okay, everybody else do the same thing. Okay, but really using Redstone is to look at ourselves, see what this thing looks like, and then how to execute. Okay, the last thing. You do all that, what enterprise emails taught us is you really have to have enterprise NetOps processes. And so the last thing that we're focusing on now is enterprise ITIL processes. We've got two procurements coming out. One's the JRSS management suite, and that'll be a joint DISA, Air Force, Army, Navy effort. And the next one Doug's leading is this enterprise service management as a service. Really, we think ITIL from the cloud. And so the Army can get out of putting ITIL nodes in, right, remedy nodes, and instead focus on the business process and draw the services from the cloud. DISA and Air Force, Navy are very interested in that procurement, right? Because it fits together with JMS. So you got a management suite, you really need to have the ITIL processes to support the management suite. So that's the next four priorities, really not changed much, a little bit more focused. I would tell you those are the priorities for the next 18, 24 months. Not going to change much. A lot of opportunity for partnership with industry. So what I'd like to do is give each of the panel members maybe 1 or 2 minutes and then get on with the questions from you guys. So Doug, if you want to start.
Sure. First, thanks for letting us talk to you today. The feedback is important both ways. So the questions you ask get us thinking and help us shape better strategies as we go forward. So I'll touch real quick on probably two things. The first is unified capabilities. We're continuing between the Air Force, the Army, and DISA to look at how we would structure that. As Mike said, we would like to do that in a cloud configuration. What comes out of NSA with regard to what information can reside in a commercial data center is going to be critical to how that gets shaped. Early FY15 is when I would anticipate the RFP to come out. Service management system as a service, which is, in my mind, the second part to NetOps. If we look at what do we need to do NetOps, we need two things. We need the joint management system for the regional security stacks, and then we need that will allow us to do the ITIL processes to be able to manage the actual network. Bring these two together, you have, in my mind, the first instantiation of a NetOps capability. We're working through requirements between the Air Force, DISA, and the Army today. We anticipate an RFP to be out on the street third quarter of 15, which means you're probably going to see something this winter that kind of frames the requirements and what we see as the issues so that we can have some dialogue about how to overcome some of those issues. I expect to probably have 2 industry days on this. That's my guess. This is too important to try and put in one time. And what we've learned about service management is the way it's done today, it's very decentralized. And so the NECs have the power to implement what they want within a framework, but it's managing their post-camper station. As you bring this to an enterprise level, it's not just the tool that we're buying, but the business process that we're going to implement that's going to drive this RFP. And so, although it's taken a while, that's the pieces that we're looking at, getting the business processes aligned at a level that will give the local organizations the ability to optimize it the way they need it, but stay within a framework that allow us to pull the data out. So those are probably the two I would stop with, and since I only have a minute.
Thank you.
You guys know I can talk a long time.
Ron, over to you.
Yeah, so it's a real privilege being here today, and with this panel makeup, I'm really the representing the operational sponsor of U.S. Army Cyber Command. And so our focus is very clearly to work with the joint community, U.S. Cyber Command, DISA, et cetera, but across the Army on the acquisition community about helping define the requirements, the capabilities we need to do the full spectrum cyber operations, because U.S. Army Cyber Command is responsible, we're U.S. Army Cyber Command and Second Army, responsible overseeing the Department of Defense Information Network, DODIN Ops, Defensive Cyber Operations, and Offensive Cyber Operations. We're a relatively young command, almost just approaching 4 years old, but really working through that, Lieutenant General Ed Cardone, the CG, is focused on people, processes, and technology. We're in the train up the cyber mission forces is a pretty lengthy process, two and a half years, and that is going on well as we're standing up the cyber protection teams and the other cyber mission forces. But also part of it is work with the headquarters Department of the Army and joint staff on defining requirements, and then with the acquisition community be able to deliver capability with greater agility and flexibility, but particularly meeting a much faster timeline. And those are some of the process things we're working that is this ever-evolving technology space, and again, coming at this as the operational sponsor.
We have to take a break. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. We're hearing excerpts from the recent FCA Washington, D.C. chapter lunch on the future of the Army's IT programs and priorities. Welcome back. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. We're hearing excerpts from the recent FCA Washington, D.C. chapter lunch on the future of the Army's IT programs and priorities. The panel included Mike Krieger, the Deputy CIO G6, Major General Alan Lynn, the Vice Director of the Defense Information Systems Agency, Major General John Morrison, the Commander of the Network Enterprise Technology Command, or NETCOM, Ronald Pontius, the Deputy to the Commanding General of the Army Cyber Command, and Douglas Woltze, the Program Executive Officer, Enterprise Information Systems, or PEOEIS, for the Army. In this part of the show, we hear from DISA's Major General Al Lynn and Major General John Morrison, the Commander of the Network Enterprise Technology Command, or NETCOM, on how they are contributing to the Army's priorities.
So I'm Al Lynn. I'm from the Defense Information Systems Agency, DISA. I would say we are probably the tightest partners with the Army right now, but
it hurts them to say that.
No, it doesn't. I love the Army. Hey. But the Army is making a huge push towards the future, and that's welcome from the joint perspective, because I'll tell you that the Navy is in, the Army is in, the Marine Corps is in, and the Navy's in, and so it's one team now going towards the same aiming point, which is really exciting. The Joint Regional Security Stack is a real good JIE message to industry that we're all moving together. And so that's really taken on a whole different meaning and will be a tool that will also be, I think, leveraged for the cyber world that Ron Pontius was just talking about. So a lot of great things, but to get there, we have a lot of infrastructure that we have to rebuild. So we're getting out of a lot of the old technologies and starting to get ready for the IP-based revolution that's to follow. So a lot of the TDM switches, those types of things, we're starting to drop and build out a capability through an MPLS routing system that's really going to be dynamic and is going to be part of the JRSS, but also part of a bigger build-out for other capabilities that are coming. You heard UC mentioned. So that's another example of the kind of technology we're prepping for.
General Morrison, with his Second Army deputy hat, is actually responsible to operate, maintain, and direct the entire network. So now he can give an order to the U.S. Army Reserves, the U.S. Army National Guard, the Army Medical Command, the Army Corps of Engineers. Huge leap forward for the Army from just a centralized C2. So General Cardone wears both of those hats, and he's got two different deputies here to execute each one. So before I go to John, John's assumed a lot more responsibilities, and it's really more effective for us all since he assumed that extra title as the deputy for Second Army. And with that, John, over to you.
NetCom is really responsible for the operations and maintenance of the initiatives that you heard Mr. Wiltsey and General Lynn speak to. But what's really starting to happen is we've really changed our methodology as we have started modernizing the Army network. And I would suggest to you it's three legs of the stool that we're really getting after. You've heard the discussion on the Joint Regional Security Stacks. You've heard the discussion on multi-protocol label switching, MPLS, that capacity that we're now able to bring on to our installations with increased redundancy. But the third leg of that stool is actually the installation level modernization that we're undergoing. All three of those approaches are really an integrated team. Now we have different leads. For example, DISA's leading the JRSS implementation with very strong Army and Air Force in support. And then at the local level, the Army's leading that modernization effort, but it's very, very closely supported by POEIS and DISA. So this integrated team has got a couple nuances to it. First off, it's changed the way that we've been procuring technologies for the installation. Now they're bulk buys, and we're using our own manpower to do the engineering and actual installation. It's allowing us to move much faster than we ever had before. I'll give you an example. At Fort Bragg, we've been trying to modernize that infrastructure for the better part of about 10 years. At Joint Base San Antonio, Fort Sam, what was scheduled to take a couple years, we got done in a few months. So this integrated team approach is really working. We've also already completed Red River Army Depot. We've completed Fort Bliss. We're almost done with Fort Sill and Fort Stewart. So we will be able to rapidly turn those installations on and put them behind the JRSS in short order over the next several months. So at Fort Sam Houston alone, we're not only moving much faster than we have in the past, we're doing it at a reduced cost. So about 5,000 contractor man hours were saved because we used our own organic manpower. And that's organic manpower from NETCOM, our supported commands, and POEIS to really move this along much, much faster. Operational capability and greater security. So we've actually increased download speeds at Fort Sam by about 100 times, but we've got the increased security that comes along with the Joint Regional Security Stack. Increased operational capability with cybersecurity baked in on the front end. We're also working very closely with DISA and our sister services on a new joint management construct. As you move towards a joint infrastructure and architecture, it requires a new way to actually operate, maintain, and defend that network. And it should make every one of us uncomfortable because it is different. We used to have very clean DMARC points, but when you have a single security architecture, that each of the services and DISA plays a part in operating and maintaining, it requires a new line of effort and a new thought process. And so we're working very closely with DISA. We've got a joint migration team that we have stood up that consists of DISA, Air Force, and Army partners. We're working to get some of our other sister services on that team. And we're refining those TTPs as we go. We're actually employing new capabilities and then learning by doing. But it is a completely different way from how we've done business in the past. And our next piece is to work with Mr. Pontius and the R-Cyber team to make sure that we leverage this joint management construct that is evolving, and we apply it against the emerging cyber C2 discussions that we're having in the joint world. And so, sir, again, thank you very much for the opportunity to participate, and I look forward to a great dialogue. Thank you.
We have to take a break. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. We are hearing excerpts from the recent FCA Washington, D.C. chapter lunch on the future of the Army's IT programs and priorities. Welcome back. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. We're hearing excerpts today from the recent FCA Washington, D.C. chapter lunch on the future of the Army's IT programs and its priorities. The panel included Mike Krieger, the Deputy CIO G6, Major General Alan Lynn, Vice Director of the Defense Information Systems Agency, Major General John Morrison, the Commander of the Network Enterprise Technology Command, or NETCOM, Ronald Pontius, Deputy to the Commanding General of the Army Cyber Command, Douglas Wiltsey, Program Executive Officer, Enterprise Information Systems, or POEIS, for the Army. In this part of the show, the panel answers questions from the audience on their assorted priorities.
So we got a really easy softball here, so let's start there. So we got a question on what's the status of JRSS rollout. So you've heard a lot about it, but let's see if we can tell you what it looks like going out through 15. So let's start with, maybe Al, we'll start with you and then go to Doug and then go to John. Just lay out for us, so what happens in JRSS through about now and probably into 15?
Well, so great question. So the place where we're at is in San Antonio, and that is kind of our proof of concept, where we've actually laid it all out. It's now operational. We're getting all our lessons learned there, but we've gone ahead and set up other JRSSs across the globe and across the country right now, where they're set up, pre-positioned, and ready to go, and we just need to have the bandwidth to go to the next one. In the future, we're looking at Southwest Asia and the rollout for the JRS is out there. And I think that takes us about through 15. So we've got CONUS and we've got Southwest Asia on the books for 15.
And one node in Germany.
And one node in Germany, that's right. Thank you.
Yeah. So Doug, can you talk the installation side?
So to align with that, what we have tried to do is ensure that as the JRSS has come up online, a region, so we've taken the United States, broke it into five regions. We have the procurements done or about to be completed for, I want to say, 2.5 of those regions. There's a separate procurement right now to buy the campus switches for Southwest Asia. And then as money becomes available, we'll follow into Europe. The one that we're laying out and headed over to the Pacific to have the discussion about is Korea. Korea will follow probably in a year to 18 months. But the intention is really the thing that's gonna dictate this is speed, is money more than anything. That will dictate our speed. And so we're going to continue with the business construct that we had. We're going to buy with bulk buys. As you heard General Morrison say, it's his team and my team that are putting those things in place. And then supporting that. And so we'll align the regional security stacks with the campuses. And as I say, I think we've got enough to do 2.5 regions right now. Southwest Asia, because it's OCO dollars, we're going to do... we're procuring right now. So, in fact, it should be done.
So, John, anything to add to that?
Sir, I'm sorry, you broke up on me.
Anything to add to what Al and Doug said, John?
Yes, sir. The only other piece that I would add is that this is really where we're cutting our teeth on developing the CONOP for managing this new joint infrastructure. With a focus really on the JRSS, but again, it's an end-to-end solution that we've got to work our way through. And that joint management construct that I talked about is something that, as we do the lessons learned that General Lynn referred to at Joint Base San Antonio, is absolutely critical that we document it on the front end. Because think about it, the joint regional security stack, again, it's not a clean DMARC, it's a virtual DMARC. And so we're gonna have a joint management construct in place where on the same box, DISA will be doing something, the Air Force will be doing something, and the Army will be doing something. So we're really leveraging Joint Base San Antonio to document what that shared management construct is going to look like, making sure we got the TTPs that are straight, and more importantly, how our organizations are going to talk to each other, because if we don't synchronize how we're operating, we could really mess things up from a global perspective. And so it is an exciting time. It's much more than just the equipment. It's really that operational CONOPS that we're refining down at Joint Base San Antonio is going to allow us to move faster and smarter over.
So thanks, John. The last thing I would add, so something nobody touched on, is what you'll see about mid-15 is you'll see the Army National Guard that's going through a Verizon MPLS cloud drop its TLA stacks and go behind two JRSSs. You'll see the U.S. Army Reserve do the same thing. And for the first time in recent history, you'll see the Corps of Engineers leave behind its isolated network and actually go through an AT&T and Verizon cloud, connect to two JRSSs, join the NIPRNet and SIPRNet, and then move to Defense Enterprise Email. So what was preventing the engineers from moving to email was they were on their own network. So they're actually going to move into the network as soon as we get a couple JRSSs up. So I think the thing you'll see about mid-15 is the other major components of the Army that were had their own stacks and to get to the to NIPRNet and SIPRNet are going to be going behind the JRSSs through the commercial cloud. Big news for the Corps of Engineers. I know General Bostic's very happy, actually.
Yeah, one alibi. I think the one thing we didn't talk about is this joint management system. So there's a version of the joint management system in place today. There are additional requirements that we're going to be adding to those. It'll come out of the Air Force, but since the Air Force isn't here, I'll just kind of talk to it. So we have a plan. JMS 0.5 is running today. We're going to 1.0 by the end of the first quarter. The end of the second quarter, 1.5 will be in place. So as we learn, as General Morrison said, as we learn how to operate and maintain this, and everyone is using aspects of the regional security stack, you may see more requirements come out as we hone what we want to do and how we want that data to move.
So you know what Doug talked about on the increments of the JMS, so let me confuse you on JRSSs. There's three versions of JRSS, two defined, one not defined. So the initial partnership with Army and DISA we call JRSS 1.0, and that's what's going at San Antonio. When we brought the Air Force in the partnership, we discovered, what a shock, right, that they do security different levels of the architecture than the Army does. And so we end up coming up with JRS 1.5, which is now everything post-San Antonio. We got to go back and refresh San Antonio. The Air Force actually doesn't start dropping their stacks till we hit 1.5, because they do some stuff that Army did in installations, they did centrally. Okay, so JRS 1.5, which is everything but San Antonio, and we'll catch up San Antonio, is Army, Air Force, DISA. Now we got Navy and Marine Corps. So we're gonna, the next DCO quarterly, in a couple weeks, we're gonna work on JRS 2.0, which will represent capturing the differences the Navy and Marine Corps do that the Air Force and Army don't do. And it's really more, it's CONOX and TTPs is where they do things. And so JRS 2.0 will represent when the Navy can actually join, which we expect's about 17. So there's two versions right now of JRSS. We're going to benchmark the third. We think when we hit JRSS 2.0, that's DOD JRSS, right? And that's really where we're heading.
And that work is going on this week.
Yeah, week's going to go on for a while.
Yes.
Yeah, we're meeting weekly.
Okay. Starts this week.
We have to take a break. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. We are hearing excerpts today from the recent FCA Washington, D.C. chapter lunch on the future of the Army's IT programs and priorities. Welcome back. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. We're hearing excerpts today from the recent FCA Washington, D.C. chapter lunch on the future of the Army's IT programs and priorities. The panel included Mike Krieger, Deputy CIO, G6, Major General Alan Lin, Vice Director at the Defense Information Systems Agency, Major General John Morrison, the Commander of the Network Enterprise Technology Command, or NETCOM, Ronald Pontius, Deputy to the Commanding General of the Army Cyber Command, and Douglas Woltze, Program Executive Officer, Enterprise Information Systems, or PEOEIS for the Army. I caught up with several of the panelists after the event to ask them for more details on these priorities. I started by asking Ronald Pontius, the deputy to the commanding general of the Army Cyber Command, about the new job classification for cybersecurity professionals.
The Army is working through the process of defining a cyber career field, and it's preliminary. It's going to be 17, and it won't be a very large branch, 5,000, 6,000 total, but that will be the professional cyber trained forces in the Army. We're working that now. More will emerge over the next few months. A lot of times these things take many years, but there's a very strong leadership support to make this happen in the next year or two. And it's being worked out of the Cyber Center of Excellence now at Fort Gordon, Georgia. If you're tracking that, that's a recent stand-up. The Signal Center of Excellence that also had electronic warfare, has been kind of refashioned to be the cyber center of excellence. Just this past week, there's a new commanding general, Major General Steve Fogarty, and so the whole cyber army, cyber career field is being worked out of Fort Gordon because it's under training and doctrine command, TRADOC.
What's the difference between what you're planning to do and what's happening now? Is it just a title, or is it actual where you're bringing people in, the signal, the intel?
So we've been, if you go back 2 years ago, when the Department of Defense, Secretary of Defense, made a decision about standing up cyber mission forces, though there are people being recruited and trained right now, and this is the next evolution in maturing that thought, that and each of the military services will do it their own way. You could make a case that the Navy was leading this several years ago with the creation of information dominance when they merged N2 N6, right? You could make a case that was a leading edge of this thought. Now what the Army specifically looking at is to train and sustain the really very high-speed cyber operators from the range of defensive to offensive cyber capabilities, it takes a lot of training and emphasis, and they really need to be managed very carefully. And that's what the Army's thinking.
During a press conference with reporters, Pontius was asked about where the employees for this new cyber workforce will come from.
So there will be new MOSs, but there are tracking initially, we're clearly going to be drawing a fair amount from the signal and the military intelligence, particularly the signals intelligence, the SIGINT part of the military intelligence. That'll be the initial. But moving forward, your cyber mission forces will have the core cyber guys, but will also have signal guys who really understand the network and military intelligence guys that can bring intelligence support to it. So it really will be a combined arms. But initially, in manning the cyber mission forces, it's drawing heavily upon signal and MI.
A reporter then asked Pontius about how these workers will fit into the current makeup of the Army Cyber Command.
That's partly what's going to be worked through, but in general answer, yes.
Can you talk a little bit about how that fits in with the Cyber Command, what they're doing now? Because these are people outside of Cyber Command, or they'd be put into Cyber Command, or is that still part of what's being determined?
Again, that's being all worked, but U.S. Cyber Command is the overall operational entity, and that is part of the overall cyber mission forces across all of the services.
Right, but I guess my trying to understand a little better is if you're setting up a cyber
career field in the Army, is the Army's contribution to that joint cyber capability. That's the best way to think about it.
Now someone asked Pontius about creating a cyber acquisition cell to improve how the Army acquires cybersecurity capabilities in products and services.
The Army is looking at that internally. What is the best way to have the agility and flexibility of acquiring capability? Some capability is a longer lead time, particularly more infrastructure capability, versus other things need to be done very rapidly within, you know, weeks. Tools, technology, those kind of things. So the Army is looking at that right now, and I think the answer won't be it's either or. There may be some combination, but we're really doing an assessment of what is the best way to get at this. And particularly what we do with Army Cyber Command is standing up as the operational sponsor and working hand-in-hand with the acquisition community. The acquisition community really has the lead to figure that out. We, as the operational sponsor, need to say, here's our requirements, and work with them in a partnership way.
Can you comment on the impact JRSS will have eventually when it comes to cyber? Obviously, with the IOC launch in Joint Base San Antonio, you're going to start seeing some of those benefits, some of those, the impact. Do you guys have a sense of the difference in terms of the better cybersecurity?
Not to quantify it yet, but clearly, you heard Mr. Krieger mention about the 105% increase in throughput. So there's going to be network improvements, clearly that, but there will also be substantial in cybersecurity, being able, so we can move away from this proliferation of all the individual kind of security stacks and firewalls. That not only will give us greater effectiveness, but we'll really absolutely be able to know what's going on in our network. So a cybersecurity. So too early to quantify it, but that's what we're going to be working. And you can see what was talked about. We're trying to do this as quickly as possible, but we're also trying to do in a way to learn. So we're doing, you know, the Joint Base San, you know, JBSA first, and then trying to learn from that while we're positioning in the others to say, how should we really employ this? The concept of operation, the management piece, all those are things we have to really think through because we're really moving to a joint construct. And what does that mean?
But didn't DoD already reduce the number of internet gateways, the number of ticks, as they call it in the civilian world, trusted internet connections? Didn't you guys already kind of move in that direction several years ago? And so are you consolidating from the initial consolidation?
Yes, somewhat, but this is really about getting at, I think, more of the security stacks and the firewalls so we really know what's going on across the network.
And then the unified capabilities, unified communication in the cloud. Talk a little bit about that, because to me that seems like something you just buy from DISA, but you seem to be going outside of that DISA path.
When you say you'd buy from DISA, when we did email 4 years ago, we had to clean up the Army, right? At that point, we had exchange servers everywhere. And so the government-to-government partnership was huge, and now I have no exchange servers in the Army. And so at this point, I can now compete that for industry because it's not something that DISA necessarily has to do anymore. Email's pretty easy. It's a cloud service. We can do UC because we did email, and DISA is part of the partnership, but DISA, as much as me, wants to compete it. And so DISA is actually going to do that RFP, not Army, right? Army did the RFI. We agreed DISA is going to do the RFP. So we're going to DISA, but DISA is actually going to compete it.
And then finally, the last piece is you mentioned the meeting, the DCO meeting regarding JRSS, I guess, standards 2.0 with Army and Navy and Marine.
Navy now, right? So. As we discovered with Air Force, each of the MILDEPs, the way that we implement security is different. Some do it in the top of the stack, some do it in the middle of the stack, some do it outside of the stack. And so when we went from 1 to 1.5, we took some things that the Air Force did in the stack, the Army didn't. The Army agreed to put it in the stack, and that's 1.5. When we started the discussion with Navy, we found the same thing. There was things that Army and Air Force were not going to do in the stack. We're going to do on an installation. And the Navy says, no, we do it on the stack. And so what 2.0 is going to decide is what Army, Navy, and Air Force are going to do on the stack. That'll move to the stack, and then everything else doing the installation. So what we're really doing is aligning, for the first time ever in DoD, a DoD ConOps for security architecture. And then JRSS 2.0 just implements that.
Is that going to add a complexity? Because it's like saying, well, I want one type of food, you want another type of food, now we're going to ask somebody else their type of food?
And it simplifies. It just means we will agree. We know how to do this now. We will agree. There'll be some give and take. We will agree how Army, Air Force, Navy are going to do it, and then we'll move out. It took us just a couple weeks with the Air Force to get over that. It's just negotiation. Because there's no right answer, okay? It's just negotiation.
Finally, I spoke with Doug Wiltsey, Program Executive Officer, Enterprise Information Systems, or PEOEIS, for the Army. We talked about the impact of the Continuing Resolution on the Joint Regional Security Stacks, or the JRSS program.
It just affects the velocity.
Okay.
So there are certain things that will be considered a new start, which we won't be able to start until the budget's approved and signed by the president, and that's what will be affected. The program for the network modernization and the infrastructure's in there, and it's just a matter of if we get a continuing resolution, we'll continue to work on the stuff that we're doing this year, but it'll affect our ability to start new projects as we go into next year.
Is there anything in specific that it will affect that you're worried about?
More than likely, it'll affect our ability to do the campus architecture. Only because that money's in the 15 budget.
Can you talk a little bit about the RFP regarding the unified capabilities, unified communication? I know that it's coming. I know there's a couple industry days. Mr. Krieger talked a lot about it. But from your standpoint, what is that going to do to the network in terms of the capabilities, and how's it going to improve it?
So right now, today, what you don't have in the Army is an enterprise level presence awareness and chat, voice and video all over IP. And part of the capability that Unified Capabilities brings is the ability to improve our VTC capability, but also allow us to use tools that are used in Afghanistan and were used in Iraq during both those conflicts. They were using a chat type of capability to really run
the war. And so by bringing that capability at the enterprise level, we'll be able to collaborate across anyone within the DOD, within the Army domain, and even in the DOD domain.
And timing around that is do you expect, obviously the RFP has come out, you go through the process, we understand that. Are you doing anything to get those capabilities out sooner? Are there anything, whether it's a pilot or from an acquisition standpoint, is it going to come in kind of task order by task order?
So there is a pilot the Army is putting together right now using an older version of Microsoft OCS. The Army has about 500,000 licenses that is going to allow us to implement a certain level of UC across the Army and learn a whole lot of lessons learned that we really need to do. So between now and the time that UC is awarded, we'll have this pilot up and running and be able to understand how we need to fix infrastructure, what we need to do with services, applications, et cetera, in order to support it.
That's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. Today we heard excerpts from the recent FCA Washington, D.C. chapter lunch on the future of the Army's IT programs and priorities. The panel included Mike Krieger, the Deputy CIO G6, Major General Alan Lynn, Vice Director of the Defense Information Systems Agency, Major General John Morrison, the Commander of the Network Enterprise Technology Command, or NETCOM, Ronald Pontius, the deputy to the commanding general of the Army Cyber Command, and Douglas Woolsey, the program executive officer, Enterprise Information Systems, or PEOEIS, for the Army.